You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Stephanie Taylor. She's calling from L.A. Stephanie, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
Stephanie, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now without giving you an introduction about everything you're doing. Can you tell me about what you're involved in now and the focus of it?
Yeah, I'm working on a new sound piece, and I work by creating texts and then making music that goes along with them based on the vowel sequence in each sentence.
So tell me a little bit about that, the vowel sequence in each sentence. I mean, just to kind of explain it, I know it's sort of hard to go through all this, but how exactly does that work? And if you can describe, I guess, the process and then what the result is and how it's exhibited.
No problem. Yeah, so I started working this way because I would find these sentences that I would really want to do something with, but I would also want to transform them in some way. And I found that if I could kind of extract the sounds within each sentence by writing a sentence that rhymes with that sentence, but having the words be different, the meaning of the sentence would change, but the sounds would essentially be the same. And so that's how I started working this way. And I realized that I could create music to go along with each syllable if I used five notes and designated one note for each syllable. So depending on what the sound in each word is, the music of the sentence also changes.
And can you describe any of those sentences or use any of those sentences so we have a better understanding? I mean, people will go to your website. There'll be links to your website so they can...
Yeah, totally. So, for instance, I wrote a song called Rosangela, which was a rhyme of the word Los Angeles. And made a story about a girl named Rosangela who was Los Angeles, which was another rhyme of Los Angeles. So the stories got created out of the words and phrases that I started with, and I kind of scrapped the story together as I go along, trying to make it seem like it makes sense, even though it doesn't really make sense. And I'm kind of pulling little bits and pieces together to create the illusion of a whole when there's really, they're not real stories and they don't make any sense.
I like that. Well, I mean, it's kind of our nature, right, to want to make things make sense. So even if we're presented with what seems like it doesn't go together, and I'm talking more about maybe the viewers or listeners' experience, we try to make sense of it, right, a narrative somehow.
Yeah, that's how I started working in this way. As an art student, I would go and see art shows, and I wouldn't know too much about it beforehand, and I would kind of make up these explanations of why everything was the way it was. And when I read more and learned more about the work, oftentimes I'd been really, really off, in almost to the effect that it was two completely different stories. And so, my experience...
But wait, before you go into that, tell me a little bit more about that. So by completely off, you go into an art show, you're going in to see a Richard Serra show, there's a lot of steel or black print, and then you're saying you make up a story for what that means, which, I mean, you can use a different example, but like what?
Right. Yeah, for instance. Like, this guy's leaning these pieces of steel against the wall to talk about, well, whatever, just some kind of basic, some kind of junk story I make up in my head, because we need things to make sense. And in that case, it had nothing to do with what he was actually trying to do. And I really love this as kind of, it expresses this thing in life where everybody has their own experience of life. And when people try to understand it from the outside, a lot of times they can't. And so we all kind of walk around making up our own stories, and sometimes they go with other people's stories and sometimes they don't.
Right. And so I love that. And so when it's exhibited, exactly how is it exhibited?
All right. So when I do a show, a lot of times you'll see a couple sculptures, a photograph, some sound playing. And I always try to have there be some kind of narrative within the story that is kind of the obvious thing the viewer can grab onto and make sense of the show with. For instance, a story about a horse. So there's a horse pictured, and you kind of get the feeling that the show is about a horse, and you're making sense of it that way. And when you learn more about it, well, it is about a horse, but it's also about these sounds and these sentences that this person was trying to rearrange and make something new from. So there's usually at least two stories happening in every show, probably, but this just kind of makes that experience more explicit.
And so explain to me a little bit how a show is set up. How is that hung or experienced, and maybe from the point of view of a visitor walks in, and what are they seeing and hearing as they explore the gallery?
Well, so I make these songs made out of these five notes, where one is for each vowel, and they sound kind of like modern music. There's not a whole lot of catchy melody, but you do hear these notes repeated because there are only five notes, and so you hear this kind of weird art song thing happening, and you might hear some words, and the words all are very abstract. And so I could tell you this is a song about this horse, and this is what happened to the horse. But if you were actually just walking into the gallery, you would hear a lot of one syllable words and probably not get that same thing from it. And you would see there may be sculptures related, like in the case of the horse, there was a tree with a bird, and the bird was trying to break through this jail to free this person that had supposedly killed the horse. And so all these different objects and characters in the show are related within the narrative, but they're also related because they've been created with rhyme. So each of them has been made based on some kind of rhyme with whatever that they're made out of. Like in the case of the bird was a wire flyer, so it was a silhouette of a bird made with wire. The tree was made of paper mache, and the title was In the Shape of Fir and Squash Gray, so like in the shape of a fir tree. So it didn't have to look like a fir tree, it just had to be generally going in the direction of the shape of a fir tree. So there are all these things that have these connections with sound, but then I also try to connect them with these kind of inevitably strange stories that get built up when I'm trying to make things make sense together.
And by inevitably strange stories, in other words, that there's another narrative that starts emerging after you put it all together that's beyond what you intended?
The inevitability, what I meant when I said that they were inevitably strange is that I always found that it was too easy to kind of make rhymes with anything and have no limitations on it, because you could just have a whole bunch of things in the room that rhyme with what they're made of but have no connection to each other. And the whole idea of this for me started out as this way for me to kind of overcome writer's block and have this kind of limited choices of what I could make, but it would also kind of direct me. So I would never have to sit down at my desk and start from scratch. But so when I was using these different stories, I would be trying to gather them together and make them say something, but they weren't written like when the writer sits down at the desk and develops the character and sets up the narrative, and not in this linear way. They're more, each one is made because they rhyme with a different material, and then I'm kind of stuck with them all, and I have to, and everything can be connected with some kind of story. So, like, there was some famous quote about how you can find anything in a dictionary, for instance. And so I'm just kind of connecting a lot of things that aren't really connected, and the stories I tell about them to connect them are kind of my fake way of uniting them.
Well, and there's visual cues in all your stories too, right? There's also some imagery that you're presenting that is in a way about as mysterious as what you're also describing, in a sense. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're all supposed to be like all the visual stuff is alibis for the fact that this story is real and this story makes sense, even though neither are true. But I'll have an illustrator draw the horse In this case, it was a baby horse born to a police horse mother, and I had an illustrator draw that. And so once it was drawn in a realistic manner, it was kind of proof that, no, this is a real thing that I can actually say happened in this story, even though it doesn't really make any sense to begin with.
I like that. I think that's clear. And for those who aren't completely clear, they can, of course, explore your website and learn more. Are you currently preparing for a show or about to show anywhere that we should know about?
Thank you. I just took down a show from the Mac Center on Kings Road in West Hollywood, and I have a new book that came out of that called the Stephanie Taylor Songbook, which is published by the Mac Center. And I'm just starting working on a new sound project, but that show was up from October through January of these past two years.
And is there a venue that where the new sound project will go?
I'm not sure yet. It's pretty exciting.
Why is it so exciting?
Oh, because I don't know where it's going to be.
Oh, I see. And is the new sound project similar to the others? Is there a new theme that you're working on, or what like informs a like quote unquote new project in terms of it being different from previous ones? Is there something in particular that guides it?
In this case, my desk is empty, and I'm just really starting. I'm at the very beginnings of the project, so it's really too soon for me to even say what it's about or how it might be different from past projects.
And before I ask the last question, I want to ask, in terms of funding, how is all this funded? Can the work be sold to collectors, and are you also doing other jobs, grants?
Well, I received a mid-career artist fellowship from the California Community Foundation, which is how I funded the last project that I did. And I also sell sculptures and photographs, too. So I fundraise both ways.
It's been wonderful talking to you about all of this, and I hope the listeners will explore your website more and learn more. Before we go, I want to ask a question that I ask everyone, which is, can you tell me what you're reading at the moment? What books could be on or off topic?
Yes, it's totally off topic. I would love to know how it's connected, if anyone can tell me. I'm reading A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. And it's a story about four friends who starting in college and their friendship over time. And it's really fantastic.
Stephanie, it's been wonderful talking with you today.
Great talking with you, too.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.